Welcome to the Impact Church Podcast. This series is called Faces. We are taking a deep dive into the people who were directly impacted by what they witnessed at the cross. Enjoy the journey with us.
Hallelujah. 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 And I was on my way here today, and we hit a rabbit. And I think it might have been called a hare, I think, because it was a big rabbit. It was like a thud. And I was like, my Lord. So we stopped. I want to see if there's any damage to the car. And I looked back, and there was this big rabbit just done, gone, wiped out. And I said, well, that's rough, right here on Easter Sunday. Then a car pulled in right behind me, and I was like, what's going on? And this guy jumped out of the car, and he came running over. He goes, what happened? I said, I ran over this hare. I think it's big. Ran over this hare. He said, just a minute. He ran back to his trunk, and he came out, and he had a bottle of ointment. And I was like, this is odd. And he came over, and he just sprayed the ointment all over the hare. And then, boom. Head move, pop, bang, phew, jumped up, took about 10 hops into the woods, turned around and went. Took another 10 hops, turned around and went. Took another 10 hops, turned around and went. And as far as I could see, he just kept turning around and waving at us. And I said, dude, I got to bring you to church. Like, I don't know what happened there, but that was pretty awesome. I mean, what was that stuff you put on him? He says, I sell hair products. What? He said, and this is hair restoration with a permanent wave. Yeah, just, if you want, after the service, I'll show you the dent in the car. And how many believe that story? Three people. It's a true story. Here's a true story. Ready? Tax accountant had the tax time, was doing the taxes for a fella, and the guy wanted to declare the loss of his Lincoln Navigator. He wanted to write it off on his taxes. And the accountant told the insurance man that, this is what happened, and hopefully we can write this off. And here's what happened. He went out in the winter with some of his friends, and the lake was frozen. So he said, hey, I'll tell you what. He says, I got some dynamite back here in the truck, so I'm gonna just blow a hole in the ice. So he took a stick of dynamite, lit it up, and he threw it out in the ice. But unfortunately, his dog was with him, and his dog decided to go retrieve the dynamite. When he came back, he saw the owner going, no, stop, no, put it down. He got scared, and he ran underneath the SUV. And so, fortunately, the dog got burned by the muffler, dropped the dynamite, ran out from underneath the SUV, but the dynamite did go off, blowing up his SUV and transforming it into a load of junk. How many believe that story? Oh, you're not going to believe this one either then. God loved you so much, he became human. He took on flesh. He came here and he lived among us, and he lived a perfect life. And he came to serve humanity, and he manifested the love of God. He healed, he delivered, he set free, he expressed the grace and goodness of his Father. There on the cross, he didn't struggle, he didn't fight. Nobody could kill him because he had the very life of God in him. But in his body, he took the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future. Every sin, God stepped out of eternity and took every sin of all time, and he placed it on the body of his Son. But his Son's blood was pure and holy and precious blood. His blood was the blood of God. And the blood of God, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, spilled all over that body that took the sin and the brokenness of all of mankind. And because it was the precious, spotless blood of the Son of God, that blood allowed him to release his spirit to his Father, and that blood allowed his body to be raised up on the third day, and he has ascended on high, and he's seated on the throne, and he's established once and for all, for all of us, victory for all. How many believe that story? Yeah, that's the truth. That's what we believe. Hallelujah. He's a good, good God. I want to talk to you this morning about this gal right here. I got a picture of Mary Magdalene. I think it's coming up. I've got my friend. There it is. So we've been doing faces, talking about faces in the series on faces. I read a little bit about who this lady was. Mary of Magdala had 7 demons cast out of her. And in that time and in that culture, women were not thought of very much. In fact, still today in the primary morning prayer, if you're Jewish, you would say, thank God I'm not a cow, an ox, or thank God I'm not a Gentile, and thank God I'm not a woman. Wow. You know, a woman could not even give testimony in court. Even if she was an eyewitness of the events, women can't even testify. They don't have the truth in them. And so this was a woman who lived in a time when women were disadvantaged, and not only that, she had 7 demons, was struggling, went through a lot of difficulties in life. And here was a woman who, when she found Jesus, when Jesus touched her life gained a significance that she'd never experienced before. And this woman, when Jesus was crucified, her heart was broken, because the one person who saw me, who really saw me, the one person who I could identify with, who gave me hope, who gave me identity, who gave me purpose, that man has been taken from us. And her heart was completely broken. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of sins. And he was raised back to prove. Say prove. He was raised up to prove that he had made us right with God. Did Jesus die for your sins? Are your sins forgiven? Every one of them. Even the one you're going to commit when you go try to see the hair on my car. Every single one of them. Done. Forgiven. Now, is Jesus risen? Are you right with God? Absolutely. You shouldn't even hesitate with that. Are you right with God? Yes. Are you right with God? Yes. Are you right with God? Yes. And you know what? Jesus covered it from the beginning to the end. He'll never relax his grip on you. Even though the bridge Wayne was prophesying about, that bridge got broken down. It's not us building a bridge to God. God made a way to us. And that way is Jesus Christ himself. And that way will never be broken. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can take you out of his hands. You are right with God. Are you right with God? Yes, you are. And that's good, good news. You are right with God. And it's proven. The Young's literal translation, same verse, it says, he was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. Now, in the language, the Greek language, when you go and study that, it literally says, if we are not made righteous, he cannot be raised. If we are not absolutely, totally justified, he cannot be raised. So, if he's raised, every sin has been dealt with. Because he's raised, you have been, past tense, you have been declared righteous. It's not my idea. It's not even my theology. That's the word of God. That's orthodox theology. Any other rubbish that is taught out there is by people who don't read their Bibles. Because it's just right there. Jesus could not be raised if every sin was not forgiven. Full atonement. Jesus covered it all. The resurrection is proof that I am the righteousness of God. The resurrection is a big deal. It's not just once a year, but it's a big deal all the time. Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. With great power, they witnessed. What did? They went about and they taught and they witnessed about the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection of Christ. And great grace was upon them all. And this very central message in the early church, that Jesus is risen from the dead, is a central theme in the Christian faith. If Jesus had only lived as a good person and only been a good example, we're still left in our sin. He didn't just come to live and say, here's the way to live. Jesus didn't live to give us morality lessons on how to be better people. I love Rabbi Zacharias said, God didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. You didn't have a sin problem. You had a birth problem. You were born in Adam. And in Adam, all sin. You needed to be born again. And when you're born again, you're born and you're in Christed once and for all. And in Christ, you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not somebody who now you're free to start behaving yourself. No, now you are completely born. Everything passed away. All things became new. You are a child of God. You're not becoming a child of God. You are fully a child of God. Fully a child of God. Fully a child of God. Justified, sanctified, glorified in the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Got myself right there. If Jesus had only died for us, we would still be in our sin. He didn't just die for us. Jesus died once and for all to bring victory over the devil, over hell, over sin, over darkness, so that we could, in Christ, because of his resurrection, he is raised, seated on high. He's the new and living way. We've been reconciled with God forever. It's not now I can get to heaven. It's now heaven and truckloads of heaven. Heavy, massive cargo of glorious substance are moving towards me right now. Not because of my good behavior, but because of what he did. The finished work of the cross gives me access to the throne of God. I stand boldly in his presence, and I claim every benefit as a child of God because of what he did. It's not now an opportunity to do. It's an opportunity to embrace. It's done. It's done. It's done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:17-19. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sin. Then also, those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitiable. This is not just a good idea. It's not another of a long list of philosophies. This is not another completing religion to try to help us have a better life. This is the one and the only God himself who made a way for us. And there's no hope in other faiths. There's no hope because you don't know. You just hope you'll be accepted to God. You just hope that you did enough. You just hope you worked hard enough. But Christianity, here it is. You didn't do it. He did it. And because he absolutely, totally did it, I am absolutely assured right now that I'm a child of God. I don't wonder if I have eternity with him. I know right now, no matter what, that I have eternity with God and it'll never be taken from me. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that, you're the most pitiable. It goes on, it says, but in fact, Christ has been risen from the dead. He is the first fruit. Say first fruits. Amen. How many say first fruits about five times a week? Why not? It's not a common word for us. It's not a common phrase, but it was for them. When the Apostle Paul would use that first fruits, it meant something. Something registered very, very quickly. And the Apostle Paul knew when he used that word, he knew what it was referring to, and he used it on purpose. The Apostle Paul was one of the greatest scholars of the Jewish faith. And when he uses first fruits, there's purpose for it. The first fruits of those who died. For since death came through a human, the resurrection of the dead has to also come through a human. For as all die in Adam. Has anybody seen what Adam did? Has anybody seen what has happened because of Adam? Has anybody seen Adam, it says, then gave birth after his own likeness? He was born in the likeness of God, but then he embraced the knowledge of good and evil. He ate that seed. It came in and corrupted him. It says, and then Adam gave birth after his own kind. So we now have all been created in the form and the shape of Adam. And we all have been given that fallen brokenness that came from Adam. It says, for all die in Adam. All. But look at this. So all will be made alive in Christ. Has anybody seen what happened because of Adam? Pretty powerful. I mean, thorough. It affected everything and everybody. But has anybody seen what happened because of Christ? Like, some people think, well, sin's going to have its way. It's just getting dark out there. It's just getting tough. Some people think Adam is way better than Jesus. Some people think Adam's power way more powerful than Jesus. Read your Bible. It says, all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. So tell me, does that scripture say it's going to get badder and badder? Or does that scripture say, we got good news for people, we got to share it with them, because Jesus Christ was more powerful than what happened with Adam. Jesus Christ is more powerful than what happened with sin. Jesus Christ. You know, you saw what the law did. Grace superabounds what happened with the law. Grace superabounds the fall of mankind. Grace is powerful, and grace will transform the world. And we're going to see the glory of God fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. I'm just trying to find a few people to agree with me. A few people. I'm just trying to find a few people that will get delivered from the lies of religion and come out of that devil and start to believe that Jesus is more powerful than Adam and what happened on that cross and what happened in that grace. Darkness, your hour is over. Not someday, not in the sweet by and by, but right now we got a message for the world. Transition has come. Time has shifted. Something's changed. God is the King of glory, and He's the Lord of all. Amen. And we got to declare that. We got to speak that. That's why I don't mind singing that song. You know, when we're not just singing a song. We're not just getting jacked up for the sermon. We are speaking to the principalities and powers. We are declaring to those structures and those thrones that are still hanging on for dear life. We are announcing, you are defeated. Christ is victorious, and you must be cast down in the name of Jesus. And we have a responsibility to do that. We really do. We really do. Can I get an amen? Colossians 2:17 says these are a shadow. Now he's talking about the law. He's talking about the outer code. He's talking about what Moses had. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. The law came through Moses, but grace truthfully was expressed through God's Son. So he said, listen, the shadow of things that were to come, the reality, however, is found in Christ. So there is a shadow. This is a shadow of things that were to come. But the reality, however, is found in Christ. Found in Christ. The old covenant had special days. It had special foods. It had special feasts. The old covenant, he says, guys, that was a shadow. So I look on the platform here, and these lights are showing a shadow. So there's a shadow. You can stare at the shadow all you want, or you can stare at the substance, which is me. Now you see, the law is a shadow of things to come. And there's a lot of people still stuck in the shadow. They're still worshiping the shadow. It was a shadow of things to come. All these special days, all these things pointed to the reality which was fulfilled and took place in Jesus. So we've been delivered from the yoke of the law, and we now have Jesus' yoke. His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and we can be delivered from religion, and we can walk in a relationship with Jesus. But there were special days, there were special sacrifices. Psalm chapter 89, 15. Stay with me. I know it's getting a bit technical. How many like to learn a little bit of Bible just every once in a while? I'll take you to Bible school. I'll take you to seminary just for a little bit. But you see, the Psalm 89:15 says, blessed, happy, and fortunate to be envied are the people who know the joyful sound. What does that mean, Pastor? Who understand and appreciate the spiritual blessings symbolized. Say symbolized. There are spiritual blessings that are symbolized by the shadow. See, there were feasts, there were things God did. There was a system of worship that He established, and they did it. But the system of worship pointed to Jesus. It all pointed to Jesus. And the people in Jesus' day got so tied up in the system, they got so tied up in the shadow, that when the reality showed up, they didn't like it, because He was saying the shadow was ended. They said, over my dead body. And they said, we're going to take you out. You're not going to take out our religious structures. Sadly, there's people today worshiping religious structures and missing out on Jesus. He says, you look at the scriptures trying to find eternal life, but you don't realize the scriptures point to me. And we should be finding Jesus is what we should be looking at. But the feast, when you understand the feast, when you read about the feast, when you read the Old Covenant, look for Jesus. Because that's what it's about. If you don't see Jesus on every page, you're reading it wrong. By the feast, they walk, O Lord, in the light and the favor of your countenance. People who understand the things about the feast. Now, back in the pandemic, remember those days? How many remember that? Gosh, hey. Well, I tell you, the pandemic was tough. The only thing harder than the pandemic was being a pastor in the pandemic. Because, boy, there was so much going on. I don't know about you. I had opinions about a lot of stuff. Did anybody have an opinion? I had lots of opinions, and I would write my opinions, and then I stopped writing my opinions because we all started arguing about everything. But that was fun, wasn't it? And I was like, oh, God, this is a mess. You know, some people are like, this is it. This is one of the plagues. You know, God's destroying. And God sent a plague to kill people. I said, what part of Jesus is in that? So anyways, I said, Lord, pastoring is tough right now. I'd like to quit. I can't referee the nonsense. I'm done. And I went to sleep. And all night long, the Lord kept speaking to me, 17, 17, 17. And I woke up and I said, Cheryl, man, all night, just 17, 17, 17, 17. I don't know what's going on, but God kept shouting, 17. I want you to know something, that Jesus was raised on the 17th day of Nisan. 17th day of that month, Jesus was raised. He was raised on the 17th. 17, the number 17, all through the Bible, it is a type of overcoming your enemy. 17 is a type of absolute and complete victory. Jesus was crucified on the 17th day of Nisan. The 17th day of Nisan is when they celebrated first fruits. Say first fruits. Paul said something about first fruits. Well, they're in Corinthians. Say first fruits. He was talking about something. He was talking about a pattern. He was talking about a symbol. He was talking to them about something they would understand, a shadow or a type. Doesn't mean much to us, but it meant something to them. And it meant something to Paul. First fruits. Jesus was the first fruits. They celebrated on the day that they were celebrating first fruits is the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. So they would bring their first fruits harvest at the end of Passover. On the day after the Sabbath was first fruits. And at first fruits, you would bring the first part of your harvest. You don't touch your harvest until you bring the first part to God. Amen. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? But this is what they did. They brought their first fruits. So while Jesus was being raised from the dead, they were there. People were bringing the first of their harvest. They would give it to the priest, and the priest would wave it. How do you think he would wave it? Let me show you. The cross. The cross. And they would do that. And all of it pointed to Jesus. All of it pointed to redemption. All of it pointed to that he is the source of victory. He is the source of overcoming every enemy. The day Noah's Ark rested on the earth, 17th of Nisan. The day that they passed through the Red Sea and came to new life, the 17th day of Nisan. The day that the manna stopped in the new land, the manna stopped and we had seed to partner with the soil, and the seed would be buried and the seed would resurrect. It would die in the soil, but it would resurrect and life would come. We left that social, you know, just trying to get something out of heaven. We left that just stuff coming out of heaven for us, and we entered into a partnership with God where by faith we sowed a seed, and the seed produced a miracle. Got stuck on my own phlegm. Are you tracking with me? So they went in and they lived a life now of the miraculous. And all of that is a typical of us. See, we came into a place now where we're not beggars anymore. We're not trying to receive manna from heaven. We are now partnering with God in a supernatural life. I'm not begging, God, please help me. I've received revelation from him, and I understand the revelation of seed, time, and harvest. I understand what it is to sow seed and see breakthrough and see blessing. You see, that 17 is all about that. 17 is the day that Esther, they said, fast and pray, and then in 3 days, I'm going to walk into the king, and I'm going to demand that this edict that would kill all of us, that it be changed, and I'm going to walk in, and I'm going to touch his scepter. If I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to touch the king's scepter, and I'm going to get justice for all. That was the 17th. And she went and she touched the scepter of the king to get them freedom. Now, I already talked to you about this, but in Leviticus 23, 10 and 11, 14, when you come into the land and you reap a harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest. Say sheaf. A sheaf is a bunch. It's not just one. It's a sheaf. The first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be acceptable on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the day after the Sabbath, this very day, how amazing was it? The priests right there were gone. And at that same time, Jesus was raised from the dead. All of the feasts were completely performed, completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Except for this last one, the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's the Feast of Harvest. And that is waiting to be fulfilled, and I believe it's coming. Jesus can't come back until the Feast of Harvest. He cannot come back until the Feast of Tabernacles. The timeline that Jesus is on is the feast. It's not your favorite teacher on TV. It's the feast. And the one that you should be praying into right now is the harvest, where the whole world gets gathered in and the whole world receives the goodness that Jesus is Lord of all. And I think God's going to win big. I think he's going to win big. I think we're going to see the nations bowing, every tongue, every tribe, bowing at the wonderful goodness and grace of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until, say until, until the same day that you have brought an offering to God. It shall be a statute, how long? Forever, throughout all generations in your dwellings. The harvest is blessed when he is first. Matthew 27, 52 to 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went around the holy city and appeared to many. See, not just one little seed was raised, but when Jesus was raised from the dead, a whole bunch of people got raised from the dead. And there's people going, you know, Uncle Hank, we buried him 3 months ago. I saw him the other day. He just walked around and went, hey, praise Jesus. He's alive. That happened. That happened. John 20, verse 1 says, in the first day, and this is the first fruits, the first day of the week, the 17th of Nisan. The first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that a stone had been taken away from the tomb. Amen. That's exciting for us, but it wasn't exciting for her, because she went on to think, who stole his body? Who took my Savior? I came, we had Passover, we couldn't do anything. So I don't know about you, but when I saw what happened to my Savior, I haven't slept a wink. The one person who brought identity to me and hope is gone. And she couldn't wait until the Sabbath was over, and she went early to the tomb because she wanted to finish what they couldn't do. She wanted to make sure that his body was properly taken care of. And when she got there, the stone was gone. Now you got to understand, she was willing to confront a stone. She was willing to confront soldiers. She was willing to confront anything because she has had a dear, deep connection to a person who meant so much to her. This is the face of the resurrection. It's the face of Mary of Magdalena. Mary, they said, woman, why are you weeping? She looked in the tomb and she saw two guys kind of all dressed and looking white, you know, kind of glowing, kind of shining. And she supposed who are you seeking? And then they said, he's not here. And then all of a sudden, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She supposed him to be the gardener. Say gardener. The gardener. And she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, please tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Now listen, Adam was the first gardener, and he screwed everything up. And I'm not surprised that she thought he was a gardener, because Jesus came as the second gardener, the second Adam, and Jesus will succeed in his task. Adam didn't succeed, but Jesus will succeed, and I tell you, the garden is going to be restored. Revelation 22, 2-4, on the other side of the river is a tree of life, 12 kinds of fruit producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be there anymore. They shall see his face. The second Adam is going to take care of it all. But Jesus, back to the story, Jesus said to her, Mary! Isn't that great? Jesus said to her, Mary! Mary, she turned and she said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. Some translations, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. And this wasn't the ascension that would happen later on, 10 days later. This wasn't the ascension that would happen later. Right now, what Jesus did, after Jesus, it says, he who ascended is also he who descended. He descended into paradise. We sang a song today that says paradise was emptied. He emptied paradise where all the saints before the cross had been, in a place called paradise. But when the cross and the blood of Jesus was shed, now he could empty paradise and everybody. He took his blood and he ascended. Psalm 24, he ascended to the very throne room of the Father and said, who is this? Who is this? He doesn't look like the one who left. Who is this? All the guardians of the throne of God said, who is this? And they said, the Lord, strong and mighty. He's able to ascend. And he ascended and he had a whole bunch of people with him. He had David going, rock on, baby, let's do this. He had Elisha and Elijah there. Woo! Well, not Elijah, because he already took an early tour. But he took with him, he emptied captivity, and he took with him. But you see, here it says, do not cling to me, for I haven't ascended yet. Now listen, why did I talk about all that first fruit stuff? Because Jesus is the first fruits. And see, Jesus had to be enjoyed. He had to be just breathed in. He had to be, the risen Christ had to be inhaled and enjoyed by his Father first. God first. We said, Mary, hang on. Some of the other guys have stopped for a little tour of, you know, Jerusalem right now. So I was on my way up and I said, Father, hang on. Look at Mary. And I know you're first. You're first. But let's just drop in and see Mary. And even though he must honor and fulfill the word of God to be the first fruits for his Father, he right then said, little detour, Father, I want to see Mary. Look at her. She's shattered. She's broken. Has nowhere to go. Doesn't want to do. I need her to know that I'm alive. I need her to know that I'm alive. Don't cling to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father. Listen now. Oh, Mary, say this. Say this to them, Mary. I'm ascending to my Father, and Mary, to your Father. Mary, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. I love that he took this little time out. I love that he fudged the law just a little bit, because God is a personal God. He's not a rule-keeping God. He's a lover of your soul. And how beautiful that he paused here for Mary. And he said, Mary, here's the beautiful thing. A woman cannot even give testimony in court. And yet God said, you know who I'd like to be the first witness? You know who I want to be the first preacher? Women shouldn't preach. Too late. Almighty God said, the first preacher of the good news will be Mary of Magdalene. That lady that we cast seven demons out of. That lady who many thought she might be a prostitute. That lady. You know that lady? That lady with the broken life, that lady who only found her identity in me, that lady, I watched her life be transformed. I watched her get life back in her. Her eyes gleamed. She was so full of life. And we traveled together. We spent all that time. And look, she's broken. She thinks everything's been taken. She thinks I'm going to go back to that nonsense of life that he delivered me from. But Jesus said, I got to stop and say, Mary, the darkness is over. The darkness is over. And to my God and to your God. And Mary Magdalene came and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken to her all these things. I'm going to close right now. All right? Just a couple closing lessons. You ready? I want you to remember this. The victory is complete. The victory is complete. And the resurrection says the victory is complete. I want you to know that this broken world can't shape you. Mary. Mary, Mary, you know, Mary, if you're here today, I want to remind you, you never have to go back to that brokenness and nonsense. He knows your name. He has identified you. He's your Redeemer. He's your Savior. Wherever you've come from today, whatever is on you that has been formed and shaped by darkness, it has no right to touch your life. And I declare to you right now, 17, you know what 17 stands for? Total and absolute complete victory. And he was raised on the 17th. A God, very intentional, doesn't miss a thing. You are marginalized no more. That is one thing, church, we should never, ever do. And I'm so saddened that the church has been the author of marginalization. It has identified the winners and the losers, identified who's in and who's out. The church is not a place where you get marginalized. The church is a place where you get accepted. Church is a place where you're loved. Church is a place where all the brokenness in your life doesn't get exposed and talked about. It's a place where all the brokenness in your life gets healed and you get restored to your rightful place in God. Last thing, just look in his face. Look in the face of the resurrection. Isn't he a good God? Just look in his face. Look in his face. Come on.